And now, with Sound Investing, here's Paul Merriman.
Well, I am no longer an investment advisor. But as many of you know, if there's a chance for me to give somebody a little shove in the right direction, I am I'm normally, if I have the time, I'm happy to do that. And recently, I had somebody pose a question to me with an email that I thought was something I'd be interested in weighing in on. And so I offered to talk to this lady. And by chance, when I called her, I thought this was interesting, her investment advisor was there and wanted to listen in on the meeting. Well, I can imagine this investment advisor was actually worried about somebody stealing her client, and which I was not about to, but was there to defend her turf. By the way, this advisor is a fee-only advisor, as that's my background when I was in the business as well, where you charge a percentage of the assets that you're managing. But it was such a great example of how kind of slippery people could be. I don't care whether they're a commission advisor or a fee-only percentage of the assets advisor. They can still be slippery. And the advisor, had taken the time to review the material about what I recommend in terms of indexing and in terms of the balance of large and small and value growth, U.S., international, and the right amount of fixed income, all those things. She was well aware of my belief system. She also knew that if her client actually believed me and the things I have written and the podcast that she'd listened to, if she believed me, she might lose an account. But in the process of me carefully going through the kinds of things that I thought that the investor should do, the advisor very cleverly, and I thought it was very smooth, or you could say it was very slippery, because the advisor from time to time would come in and confirm what I was saying was right, and that, yes, we're on the same page, and yes, that's exactly how I feel as well. The only point that she actually shared any difference was when I asked her how they decided which of the ETFs that they use, how they decided what to be in, and was it a pure buy and hold? Well, it turns out that, in fact, they are not buy-and-hold advisors, and they're not really the kind of mechanical market timers that I've talked about in the past that I have some confidence in, certainly at least the ways that I'm comfortable with it. But in this particular case, this is the age-old way of having, back in the home office, we have economists, she said, and market experts, and they decide where in the world they should be in. They decide how much they should be in equities and fixed income. And so the conversation ended with me not being very happy about the use of active management based on predicting the future, but I had the sense that without seeing the portfolio exactly, that there must be some commonality between our belief systems. A couple days later after the conversation, I got a hold of the lady, the investor, and I said, I would be curious, could you send me a copy, please, of the portfolio that this firm, how they have invested your money? I'd like to look at the asset allocation. I'd like to see if I can get a sense of what they're about. And what I found is they're absolutely nothing like what I had been teaching. And I can understand why the advisor might have been a little worried about losing an account. Because I forgot to tell you this one. I love this one. The one thing that came up in the conversation was that over the last 12 months that she had made the client 3%. And that was pretty good because it kept up with inflation. And while I was on the phone and I couldn't see whether the client was nodding their head or not, I assumed they were because there was no question that what she had done was very good for the client. Well, when I actually got the information on the account, I realized how very clever that advisor had been. Number one, there was no REIT here in the portfolio. Now, maybe at some time in the past they had REITs in the portfolio, but not anymore. And, of course, the clients, they just kind of blindly trust their advisors, and if the advisor says it's so, then by golly, it's so. And, yes, they have emerging markets. In fact, about 16% of the market of the portfolio is in emerging markets, about probably less than 10% in international stocks, nothing in U.S. equities, nothing. And the bonds, high yield, all sorts of, in fact, even some emerging market bonds. By the way, I'm not saying that the bonds are bad just because they're high yield. No, I'm sure the client was very happy to have those high yield bonds because they helped make her that 3% in the last year. On the other hand, if the client had just a simple Vanguard 40% equities and 60% fixed income, the client would have made, at least according to Hulbert, about 9% instead of 3%. If she had just used my Vanguard monthly income portfolio, she would have made over 7%. And I'm sure that holding they have in Germany, that holding they have in Malaysia stocks, the holding they have in Mexican stocks, there's some from Thailand. There isn't really very much diversification in this portfolio when they do have equity exposure. So it's, for me, it was such a vivid lesson about the cost to us as investors if we don't get an education. Because in this business, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, people will say anything they have to be able to earn a living managing money for others. And even if you're talking about an investment advisor who is fee only, not charging any commissions, please understand the information can be absolutely terrible. And now, after I've seen this portfolio, what do I tell this poor lady? It's a real dilemma for me because I hate going through my life just bad-mouthing other people's work. On the other hand, this lady's future, her financial future, relies on this money being managed prudently. So I want to make sure that I do all I can to help educate you so that if anybody tries to pull the wool over your eyes, you will know the reality. You will know the high probability of success way to do this and not let somebody just bamboozle you into thinking they have got some inside piece of information that makes their high fees valuable. Well, I hope that helps. And I look to you to email me, paul@paulmerriman.com, and tell me the kinds of topics you want me to be covering here on Sound Investing. And as always, I appreciate the fact that you take valuable time out of your life to let me do what I can do to help you and your financial future. Thank you.
That was Paul Merriman with Sound Investing. Sound Investing, soundinvesting.com, and paulmerriman.com are produced and exclusively owned by Paul Merriman, who is solely responsible for their content. For more information, free articles, mutual fund recommendations, and more, visit paulmerriman.com.